Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine food Friday, September 9th. I'm Ray Graff. Well, you know from listening to this program over the years, this region has some of the greatest chefs in the entire world. And today we're going to get to know a new one. It's Chef Terrence Brennan. He's master chef, former owner of the Michelin-starred restaurant Picholine in Manhattan. And he's opening a new restaurant, The Roundhouse by Terrence Brennan in Beacon, New York. That's coming in October. What are Chef Brennan's favorite things to cook? What's in the fridge? Oh, we'll find out on this program. If you have a question, now's the time to call on a Food Friday, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Yeah, it's the chef special. It comes your way right after the news. Well, hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call and talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It is a Food Friday today, and it's always a fun day here on this program. Today, we play Meet the Chef, and we meet Chef Terrence Brennan. Chef Brennan ran the Michelin-starred Picholine on West 64th Street in Manhattan for 22 years. He's also helmed many culinary endeavors, including an artisanal cheese bistro, cheese caves, for Pete's sake, and a sandwich shop. He's honed his skills and talents in a number of fabulous kitchens in Europe, including Le Moulin de Mougins.
Close enough.
The south of France. These days, he's spending his time in the Hudson Valley, most recently organizing a fundraising dinner for the Clearwater. He's got a new restaurant opening up in October called The Roundhouse by Terrence Brennan, and that's in Beacon. And he runs Brennan Group Hospitality. We'll find out about all these things on the program. 800-348-2551 is our number. 800-348-2551. You know you're in for an interesting program when right before the show starts, the guest says, oh, it's a whole hour. What the heck are we going to talk about for a whole hour?
I don't know if I said heck, but close enough.
No, well, for radio, public radio, certainly, that's close enough. And my answer is, that's usually my question. What are we going to talk about for
food, man? Food. And the Clearwater Festival.
Well, first of all, nice to have you here. Really nice to have you here. And, you know, you got articles about you in the New York Times, and you had fabulous restaurants. And frankly, the thing that frightened me most about your website is you serve sea urchin. What the heck does that taste like?
Oh, my gosh. Very, tastes like the ocean.
Really?
Yeah. Tastes very sweet, creamy, saline, very oceanic.
I don't know if I've ever seen a sea urchin in person. How big is a sea urchin?
Well, they're those, I'm sure you've seen them. They're those round black spikes with spikes coming out of them that you see in the oceans around the world.
Yeah.
Might have stepped on one.
Well, I don't get out much. No.
And then you open them up, and they have those, what they call tongues. They're yellow. They're actually the roe of the sea urchin, but they're yellow tongues. You see them in sushi restaurants all the time.
Mm. Again, I don't get out much. Yeah, you know. So this is great. So you serve some really highbrow stuff.
Yeah.
And then you sort of, I guess, had enough of New York City, and you're moving up the Hudson a bit?
I am. I've moved. Done moved.
And so this is pretty exciting, a new endeavor for you.
Yes.
I think you'll love it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I am. I'm absolutely just, I mean, you're in the epicenter of Farm to Table, and it's just, I've always bought product from the Hudson Valley, going to the Green Market in New York for my restaurants, but I never really explored and visited up here so much. So now that I have the opportunity to do that, the food culture and the agricultural richness is extraordinary up here.
So your new endeavor, the Roundhouse by Terrence Brennan, which opens in October, it will feature Farm to Table, a go-go.
Right. What I like to say more than Farm to Table, it's more like Farm to Chef or cooking, whole farm cooking, a whole farm cuisine, which meaning we're using all the products from the farm, the crops that are used for rotation crops and things like that to help support sustainability with organic farming.
And you have to build relationships in that case. And so are you building the relationships with the farmers?
I've visited, I don't know, a dozen farms now where we're starting to buy now before even my menu gets in place. And I'm visiting farms every week and talking to the farmers and, you know, learning what it's just really, I'm just so impassioned to be up here and to be working with these products. It's really incredible.
Our guest today is Chef Terrence Brennan, who was a famous New York City chef, now opening a new restaurant, The Round Table. Not The Round Table. It's a show here. The Roundhouse by Terrence Brennan in Beacon, New York. So that's very time-consuming, though, is it not, to go to all the farms and to establish the relationships? Once you're up and running, your time will be at a premium.
Yes, it will. That's why I'm doing it now before I open up.
So will they come to you and say,
absolutely,
have this week?
Yeah, right now with the with technology, we have not even fax machines, but we have farmers have emails.
You have a fax machine now? How about a teletype?
Yeah. So, but I still like to visit and meet them because I really like to see how they manage their farms. Soil management's important. It's just because really it's all about the soil. Even with organic farms, you could have – I tasted a carrot from an organic farm. It tastes like nothing.
What do you mean?
So I really zone in and ask questions about how the farmers manage. Is there livestock on the farm? Their crop rotation? Because a healthy soil means tasty vegetables and other food products.
So what is available here is dictating or shaping what will be on your menu
at
the new restaurant?
And also, I've been up here, I'm having a paradigm shift of how I'm starting to look at food and cook. I'm going to practice whole animal cookery, which is we're going to use the whole animal, not just a sirloin or a fillet for the menu. So, for example, it could be Holbridge Beef Farm or Glenwood Farm Beef, and I'll just leave like that, and we'll use the whole animal. So every night it could be a different cut because being a proponent of sustainability,
yeah,
we just don't want to cherry pick the sirloins and the fillets and cuts like that. So that's a big part of what I'm going to be doing. And you have to have these conversations. And grass-fed beef. I am a proponent of grass-fed beef.
Okay,
now, and I'm eating grass-fed beef.
So, now. Okay, eating it now. Yes. You are a proponent of eating that grass-fed
right.
beef.
I mean, I'm eating healthier these days. You get to a certain age, you got to start thinking about things like that.
Nonsense.
Right? Listen, just a little while ago, I would want the 90-day dry-age prime beef from, corn-fed, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
However, since being up here and meeting the farmers and really taking in the agriculture and what they're doing up here, and then it has its challenges. Some of the grass-fed beef, it's more of an ethics point of view and a philosophical point of view that I'm approaching the food now. And being a chef, I think I could make anything taste good.
But from a cooking standpoint, is grass-fed, I guess, more lean?
It's more of a challenge. Yeah, it's more lean. It certainly has a different flavor profile, taster profile. But Americans are so used to that, the fat in the, which really, when you go beyond the fat, it's corn-fed beef, and it's not as healthy and for you to consume.
But I mean, some fat is very wonderful.
Yes, and grass-fed beef does have fat, but it's healthier fat. It has omega-3 in it. It's much more healthier for you.
Mm. Well, now you're also involved with, I'd like to know how you're involved with Sloop Clearwater.
Right.
And so we've also have in the studio here, and we want to welcome Hal Cohen, who is one of the founders of Clearwater. Nice to have you here, Hal.
Thank you very much.
Well, now let's see. You've been on for 1 second. You haven't sworn yet. So this is really, this is a great show we have going. So how did you guys get in touch with Terrence or vice versa?
Terrence is a family friend. And his significant other is someone I saw born.
Oh, nice.
Jody.
And
Jody.
Jody, a plug.
And we've been friends for a while. And Clearwater, as you know, was having some difficulty in terms of the restoration of the boat.
Right.
Costing $800,000. And Terrence says, I think I can help you. And he offered to run that benefit for us.
So tell us about the benefit.
Yeah, it's called chefsforclearwater.org. And over the years, I've always done benefits, and I really want to become part of the community, not just be up here to own a business or just a cook. So it's important to be part of the community and support the community. So Clearwater event came about by knowing that they needed some help with raising funds, and I've done so many events like this, so I said, let me help. So I called a few chef buddies up that I know, and we're doing an event at the Culinary Institute of America with four of the chefs, and we're doing a farm-to-table four-course tasting menu.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's going to be really fabulous.
When is
with
that?
Local wineries and cideries and distilleries. I mean, that's another part of what's extraordinary up here is all what's happening with the microbrews and
so many distilleries.
Yeah, and the cideries.
Is John Fisher going to be involved in that down at the CIA?
I should have said John on. You know John?
Oh yeah, yeah. We had him on a couple of weeks ago.
Okay,
I had to sleep it off for a couple of days.
I just was with him on Sunday or Saturday at an event.
Oh
so,
yeah,
yeah. But it's going to be fabulous. It's Sunday, the September 25th, and I really would want to encourage your audience to really support this event because there's still tickets left, and it's not just about – it's really about supporting your community and Clearwater and all that it stands for with, you know, which is cleaning up the rivers, which also it's all tied together with sustainable agricultural and good farming practices, which the runoffs go into the rivers and are, you know, not full of pesticides and et cetera. But it's really about supporting all that. And then the bonus is you get a fantastic meal.
And that's a good bonus.
Yes, it is.
Any sea urchin on the menu?
No sea urchin, because we're going hyper-local.
Okay, good. Oh,
hyper-local.
Good, because I think it still frightens me. Our number here is 800-348-2551. If you have a question about, anything, any food-related topic for Chef Terrence Brennan, who I've not called Terrence Blanchard once in the program, but it'll happen, 800-348-2551. So how is the restoration of the Clearwater going, Hal?
Clearwater's back on the river.
Yep.
We've paid off most of it. We still owe about $90,000, but it's sailing. It's sailing with kids. It's running school programs. Our fall schedule for the school programs with children is pretty well full up.
Beautiful.
And so Clearwater's back.
That's good.
And Terrence came, when was it, January, when the boat was literally ripped apart.
It was like gutted.
It was gutted. And
this thing's not going to be ready for the literally by hand. They're doing all the woodwork by hand.
It's amazing, though, if it was completely apart in January and it's in the water now, that's pretty quick work.
Yeah.
It was an amazing effort on the part of our crew and some paid shipwrights and getting the right white oak to make it so it maybe lasts longer than 45 years next time.
Fantastic. Well, let's take a break here. Hal Cohen is here and Chef Terrence Brennan. And you, if you want to make a call, 800-348-2551. I see he brought tomatoes. No sea urchin, but tomatoes. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Roundhouse Bakery, Cambridge, New York, featuring baked goods along with coffee, teas, soups, and sandwiches using locally sourced and organic as available produce and ingredients, roundhousebakery.blogspot.in. The Eric Carle Museum, Amherst, Massachusetts, celebrating children's books through exhibitions, art making, story times, and theater. On view now, The Art of Robert McCloskey, including Make Way for Ducklings and Blueberries for Sal, carlemuseum.org. River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, rivervalley.coop. And Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, family-owned since 1948, offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats, home of New England farm-made sausage, open 7 days, Pekarsky's.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC Food Friday. Ray Graff here. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Joined today by Chef Terrence Brennan, whose new endeavor is The Roundhouse by Terrence Brennan in Beacon, New York, which is set to open when in October?
Mid-October. So 10th, 11th, 12th, something like that.
When does it really start getting tense before you open a new restaurant?
About 2 weeks ahead, 2 weeks prior.
So,
but I've been at this game for quite a bit, so I'm an old pro at it. So, but it certainly intensifies because the menus aren't written yet. So I'm going to wait until actually next week. I'm going to start crafting the menus and see what's in the market and what's going to be coming up, and then design the menus.
And you have assembled a good staff, good kitchen staff.
Assembling now.
Really?
Yes. There's some good people there now, and we're gonna supplement with some new staff.
Well, you've been around the block a few times. Take us through a job interview. Somebody comes to you and says, "I want to work for you in the kitchen." How tough is that interview?
Well, I They're usually kind of nervous when they're speaking to me because I right now I'm interviewing everyone from dishwashers, which are
You have to do all important. That as well.
I want to do it because I'm only as good as my staff. So this is a new the first one up in Hudson Valley and I have time to do it now and that's how important I think staff is. So
yeah, even dishwashers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dishwashers are very important.
No. I get it. Yeah. No, I get it. But I mean, head chef, you might leave that to somebody else,
two,
right?
Two, three, five, 10 restaurants. I had other staff do it, but this particular because I'm doing something a little bit different.
In what way?
And as far as the restaurant goes, it's kind of fine dining, but not, and it's a little bit different culture up here than say the New York City vibe and interviewing employees down there. So I'm trying to learn about staff up here and the culture and understand. And plus, when I start something new, I interview all the employees that are there, so I get to know them and their issues they may have and why not, and scheduling practice. Because I run a very disciplined kitchen, and a lot of, especially maybe outside of New York City, they're not used to the standards, what I call Michelin standards, because no matter what I do, whether it's a sandwich or this restaurant or a pizzeria, I run it with the same standards and intensity and disciplines. They got to come in on time. That's big with me. So
that's big in every job.
They know right away, and this is what you can expect, and this I'm going to hold you accountable. And so I want to really get involved with employees so they understand where I'm coming from, because at some point when I do get busier, there's less of that interaction. I want them to feel like they can still approach me, and they know me a little bit.
Yeah.
So so I'm interviewing a lot of people and to hear from the horse's mouth what I expect.
So you mentioned the difference in culture among the potential employees.
Right.
In what way?
Well, in New York, you get the creme of the creme, right? So any student, for example, one example, not just the only example, but say CIA Culinary Institute grads go, where they want, I want to go, they're going to go to New York to work in a great restaurant under a great chef. But that's the reason why they want to go to New York, is to work in a great restaurant and a great chef.
Right.
So I am creating a culture here in Beacon, New York, which I'm not dishing anyone, but there's not that kind of restaurant in Beacon, New York as of yet to create that culture where instead of the best students or best cooks going to New York, and by the way, we're paying the same dollar rate as you would in New York. And
well, the cost of living is better, right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow.
So they can have a better
win-win.
Better living conditions and don't have to share us,
a 800
room, 800 square foot apartment with three other people.
Yeah, I dig it.
And come here and have the same experience as any Michelin-starred restaurant around the world.
Right.
And learn something. Work here 1 or 2 years and then go on. And plus, to be in the epicenter of all these, of the farm-to-table movement. It's a real culture. To be right, we literally have farms right around in our backyard. And we're going to have to do a farm on top of the hotel. By the way, it's a hotel as well. It has an event space.
Oh, nice.
It's a fabulous event space with, weddings and private parties up to 200 people.
Yeah.
And really cool. David Rockwell designed it. And it's a really cool design built over a creek and a waterfall. There's three buildings that are an old factory, brick old factory buildings. And really, really a cool space.
Are you a patient man?
Am I what?
Are you a patient man?
Patient.
Yeah.
In
other words,
the
culture, the being what you are used to in New York or Paris or wherever.
Right.
Now you're in a different spot, and you mentioned that you're trying to find those people who get it.
Right.
How patient can you be in the beginning before you blow your stack?
Let's say this. I've learned to be. I learned to bend a little more, and since say 20 years or so ago. I've not let down my standards, but I've learned to be a little bit more flexible, knowing that people are people and everyone is different. So, again, that's getting back to why I want to interview everyone, so I understand the staff a little more. Because sometimes you have to approach people a little bit differently to get the results you need. Some people are more sensitive, some people, and so.
Some people don't have the belly for this job, right?
That's correct. Right. So what I do first is I go in. We have a credo. The list of credo, so everyone understands how the kitchen's going to run, what to expect, and then the repercussions if they don't follow the procedures and stuff like that. But what I find is that you know, they're, and I just came back from Vermont with a large consulting thing, and the staff up there is not working great restaurants. They've had worked under chefs that really don't care, or restaurants that are just subpar.
Yeah.
And then when I come in, it's just like, oh, who is this guy? And, but I do it with respect to them. I teach them. I give them all the tools. It's important to have all the tools. So many restaurants you walk into, the kitchens are filthy. They're dirty. They have crappy pots. They don't have their, and they're working with terrible ingredients. And you can't inspire. You can't keep good people in that environment.
Yeah.
So one of my main focuses is to create an environment where it's very professional. The standards are extremely high, but also that they learn something, and it's like kind of like when you instill that discipline, people can thrive in that, as opposed to being walking into it's disorganized, they're out of this, they're this, no one cares, they're coming in late, staff are talking, you know, I don't, it's just none of that goes on in my kitchen.
Now, I've never worked in a kitchen in my life, nor will I ever, but it sort of sounds analogous to Bill Parcells or a football coach.
It is. It's like, it is very similar, or an orchestra, especially during service, you are a conductor of the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, and I give exacting standards. I have exacting standards, so every single recipe is in grams. And then what I call plating recipes during service, we do everything in cups and tables and stuff. So the
why grams?
For consistency. Mm. So I don't want to I don't want to leave it to any chances, any variances. That I take that away as much as possible. I mean, there's still going to be some with medium rare cooking a la minute.
Sure.
But we do a lot of sous vide cooking. The books are all, every station has gram scales, and they're really not used to that. So I work very hard at training them to work like that the kitchens that I developed to work like I do.
And it must be tough at the very beginning, especially with an inexperienced staff, to work to your standards and work quickly enough to get it done.
Yes.
That's got to be a trick.
I do work quickly. I take care of issues right away. I don't like to wait a week or two, and there's an issue. We sit down, we talk about it, and we tack it.
Yeah.
Next day, we had a bad service. Next day, all those problems are fixed, and we're moving forward.
Our guest today, Chef Terrence Brennan, whose new endeavor is the Roundhouse by Terrence Brennan in Beacon, which will open in October. Hal Cohen of the Clearwater, one of the founders of the Clearwater. You've known him forever. Is he tough to get along with? He's
sometimes.
He's type A, isn't he?
I'm a teddy bear. Come on.
No, no. As we're pulling this event together for the 25th, I'm maybe more loose than Terrence is.
I believe it.
And we drive in the car, and Terrence says, no, we got to do it this way.
Ah.
And we got to make sure all these buttons get pushed right at the right time. We've got an amazing committee that's been formed to produce this event. We're working with the Culinary Institute, Dr. Tim Ryan, Waldy Maloof, great chefs, and great PR people. We've got an event planner that's donating her time. We've got PR people donating their time. Everybody looks at Clearwater as being something a little bit special and something they want to give back to.
And everyone is contributing their time. And we're getting a lot of products like the whole cow got donated.
My friend Sandy Saunders, another founder, he's a farmer. He raises beef.
Yeah.
And he donated a whole cow and paid for the butchering cost.
Oh.
Yeah, out of his own pocket.
Yeah. Fantastic. Right. A good cow?
Grass-fed.
Well, we don't know.
We don't know. Oh, here we go.
It was raised properly.
Okay.
Right. No, it is a great cow.
All right, we better take a call here. 800-348-2551. Aaron in Eastburn, you've been waiting a while. Thanks, Aaron. You're on.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I was very pleased to hear of a chef interested in farms in upstate. This is great.
Oh, yeah.
Not interesting.
We have I own and manage a holistically managed small family farm. And we practice regenerative rotational grazing with multi-species.
Awesome.
And we work mainly with heritage breeds. One exception to that would be the white Cornish cross broilers that we raise every year.
What
but
is the
all
name of
our
your
animals,
farm?
Heritage, or I'm sorry, Helder Herdwick Farm.
Oh, yes. You're on my list.
How about that? How about that? Nice.
Yes, good. You can find us.
So, Aaron, let me ask you a question about heritage breeds. Now, I've talked about heritage tomatoes or whatever over the years, and the thing is, are heritage breeds inherently any better than the current state of the art, for lack of a better term? In other words, are they heritage for a reason?
Yes, they were developed by colonists earlier in the history of the country. And they kept and bred what did well in their surroundings.
Hmm.
So, for example, our family cow is not a large Holstein that's going to consume a lot and produce a lot of other products that you don't really use except on your pasture. She's an Irish Dexter. So she's very small, and she gives us about 3/4 of a gallon of milk a day, but that's enough for a family.
Sure.
And she eats entirely the grass that's on our property.
Awesome.
Terrific.
So we're spending no carbon on her bringing grain in. And she's nice and plump, and she's an excellent mother. She does well in her environment. And being smaller sized, she has less impact on the soil and the environment in negative ways.
Well, Aaron, thank you for calling, and I guess you're on the chef's list, so you'll be hearing from him.
Great. Very good.
Thank you.
She hit all the Clearwater points in terms of sustainability and what Clearwater is interested in, too.
Yeah. That's great. And once again, that event, as you said, September 25th?
September 25th at the Culinary Institute.
It's a Sunday.
Sunday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Now, how can people find out about that?
Let's do it together.
www.chefsforclearwater.org.
All right. And Hal, still no swearing. You're really doing great. All right. So Jess, our producer, and I were chatting before the show. She said, you got to ask about the cheesecake. So one of your restaurants, or at least one down in New York, had a famous cheesecake.
Well, I became...
First of all, what is a cheesecake for those who don't know?
A cheesecake is a... It's an environment. It could be really a cave. It could be literally a cave that's dug into a side of a hill or into the ground. But in my case, it's a refrigeration unit that was built with stone, and then we modified the environment with temperature and humidity to emulate a cave environment to mature cheeses or to keep peak cheeses at perfect ripeness.
That must not have been cheap if you're building a refrigerator out of stone.
No, we built the first one in the country at Pichelin many years ago. Then that Pichelin led into my opening up artisanal bistro, which I went to Europe and worked in several fromageries and worked with cheesemakers and designed, came back and designed these cheesecakes with five different climate zones, one for blue, one for bloomy rinds, one for wash rinds, one for cave alpine cheeses, and then one for, I'm missing one, the, did I say bloomy already? Is that five? Maybe I'm talking too fast.
More that's than all right. How will count. How you count.
And each one is a different temperature humidity. So from there, I really went off the deep end and opened up a 10,000 square foot affinage center, school, and e-commerce site for cheese.
Wow. So like cheese. You're a cheese man.
Yes. Yes.
I'm a fan myself.
Yeah. So I did that on 10th Avenue, and we built big, large walk-ins. But again, Philippe Alios, who was a well-known fromager in France, came over and he gave me his refrigeration guy, and we built these custom-made cheesecakes, and we could control the temperature and humidity to 1/10 of a degree. And that was called an artisanal premium cheese. And you know you did something well when a Frenchman tells you he's jealous of our cheesecake. So he came over, we put bloom in the cheese, and it was a lot of fun for him. And I sold that several years ago so I can go back to restaurants, but... So I got into cheese for a while.
That's pretty cool. Our guest today, Chef Terrence Brennan. Let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. And Jeffrey in Alford, Mass. Jeffrey, you're on.
Terrence, how are you?
I'm great, Jeffrey.
It's good to hear you. And thank gosh you're talking about cheese because I remember my cheese drawings with you.
Cheese drawings. Oh, Jeffrey, yes. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, how are you?
Yes,
best thing that Terrence Brennan ever taught me was, because I knew very little about the inside workings of a restaurant and a super chef, and you conducted your sauce tastings the way I conduct my paint tastings, not literally, but in mixing of the paint, it has to be right. And mixing of the color, it has to be right. And so it's good luck to you on this new adventure.
Well, thank you. Jeffrey, where are you
these wonderful,
days?
It will be wonderful, I'm sure, and people should flock to you.
Thank you. Where are you these days?
Well, we're in New York, and we're also up here in Alford. And I show up here in Great Barrington and New York as well.
Right, we
and
to come
I remember you and I going to make sure that the frames were right.
Yes, so, exactly.
So you draw cheese. Is this what you do for
him? He did for me.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Yeah, what do you call that?
You were a patron.
You requisitioned his artwork.
Yes.
And no, you
commissioned me. And you
commissioned.
Know that.
Commissioned. There we go. Commissioned.
Yeah, and the cheese drawings got a life of their own.
Yes. Jeffrey, what do you think those are worth?
Many of them.
Are they worth anything these days? What do you think they're worth?
Well, I don't know. A couple of meals.
Right.
There you go.
A couple of meals at the new restaurant, maybe.
You know what? I still have them, obviously, and maybe I can find a home for them in one of the restaurants.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah. So is cheese a willing subject of a fine piece of art, Jeffrey?
Well, it's a shape that has an anatomy all its own.
Yeah.
And a way that moves in its own particular very slow way.
What's the sexiest cheese?
I'm sorry?
What's the sexiest cheese?
What's the sexiest cheese?
Yeah.
In terms of jazz, maybe blue cheese.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I'm sorry for that.
All right. Well, very nice to have you here, and thanks for calling in, Jeffrey. We appreciate it.
Well, and good luck, Terrence.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Thank you so much.
See you soon.
All right.
Our number is 800-348-2551. So there we are talking about cheese.
Wow.
And there's a guy who...
A blast from the past. My God. That's like 20-something years ago, Jeffrey did those drawings. They were done in chalk. They're very cool. They're like... there are these chalk sketches of a series of three cheeses in each sketch. Very cool.
And you don't know where they are right now?
Oh, I know where they are. I have them in storage. Oh, absolutely.
You got to put them up.
I know.
Put them on the Clearwater. You know? That'd be something.
Maybe it could be an auction item.
Yeah.
Hey, that's not a bad idea.
If we knew what they were worth, yes.
I can tell you they're worth a lot of money.
They're worth what people
Jeffrey,
will pay. That's why you should have an auction.
Well, let's
now.
Talk about that.
All right, our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Chef Terrence Brennan, our guest, also joined by Hal Cohen of the Clearwater. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Putnam County Tourism, welcoming the Fireball Run for a weekend-long community event, cars, kids activities, parade, street fair, September 30th and October 1st, facebook.com/Putnam County Tourism. Chance Galleries, Stockbridge, featuring the works of over 50 internationally known artists working in glass, including Dale Chihuly, chancegalleries.com. Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, located in the Old Town Hall, Sunderland, Massachusetts, open Tuesday through Sunday at 5, featuring outdoor dining on the patio and front porch throughout the summer. BlueHeronDining.com. Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts, new barn wedding venue and heated antique greenhouse, offering tailored catering, garden-to-vase flowers, and 4 bed and breakfast rooms. GloriosaCO.com. And Bread and Butter, newly opened restaurant in North Amherst Mill District, offering breakfast and lunch daily from traditional staples to chef specialties such as duck confit hash and maple sriracha pork belly. BreadandButterAmherst.com.
Welcome back to Vox Pop Food Friday. I'm Ray Graff. We're joined today by Chef Terrence Brennan, whose new restaurant opens in October. The Round Table, not the Round Table, that's Joe Donahue's restaurant. No, the Roundhouse by Terrence Brennan in Beacon, New York. And we're also joined by Hal Cohen, one of the founders of Clearwater, and they're doing a benefit on September 25th down at CIA. And you can find out more about that by going to the website.
Chefsforclearwater.org, C-H-E-F-S. F-O-R, Clearwater.org.
How many chefs are involved with this?
Five.
Five chefs. Yes, and you're the boss chef? Do you boss everybody around?
Well, I'm like the orchestrator. Yeah.
Okay.
The conductor. I got them together. We I've kind of crafted the menu, so make sure they didn't repeat ingredients and whatnot. And so we're doing farm to table, and it's vegetable forward, and we're really thinking about the environment and working with all the local farms, and sustainability is a big part of it.
What happens when another chef gives you any lip? You throw down? Yeah. No? Chef fights?
I'm trying to think, has any chef given me lip before?
Oh, no one dares, eh? All right. And so let's go back to the phones, 800-348-2551. Before I do that, though, you know, we've been having so much fun. I haven't even mentioned what you brought today. So what did you bring?
Well, it's the height or the tail end of the tomato season. So
right. These
are some wonderful organic tomatoes, heirloom tomatoes, from Common Ground Farm, right around the corner from the restaurant. So what I did is I wanted to let you taste these. Number one, here, taste just that tomato.
Okay, man. This is a cherry tomato.
These
right?
are from they're called Sun Golds.
Mm.
Now, how sweet is that?
Very.
That's from a very healthy soil. So this tomato soup I brought you is actually not cooked at all because I didn't want to change the makeup of the tomato flavor profile at all. So this is just tomato, fresh tomatoes, these heirloom tomatoes.
Okay.
We got yellow candies, green zebras, Brandywine tomatoes. They're kind of misshapen, right?
Yeah, that's a big tomato, though.
You can
thanks a lot.
Enjoy them.
Beautiful. Very colorful.
So just put through a food mill and with a little garlic confit, extra virgin olive oil, and salt.
And wow, look at that.
And then I have a little bit of ricotta with pesto in it.
Ricotta with pesto. Genius.
And then, just because I always add a little twist to something, you've heard of panzanella salad?
Possibly in passing.
Panzanella is an Italian salad that made out of stale bread. And they take stale bread from the day before, break it up, and they put tomatoes, cucumbers, onion, vinegar.
Nice.
And toss it all together with, say, some arugula.
Wow, look
and
at then, that.
So I did a little twist of that, and I'm going to garnish the soup with a panzanella kebab.
Wow. Fantastic. So, that is a beautiful presentation, and you did that just now.
Yes.
Fantastic. You really do know what you're doing. All right, and I doubted you. It's amazing. All right, I'll tell you what. Let me try this. We'll go to the phones, and we'll take a call. And, Chef, you talk. I'll eat. It'll work out very well. 800-348-2551. Bill in Niskayuna. Bill, you're on.
Hi, I'm a wine guy, and I just wanted to talk to you a little bit. You brought up the culture of the restaurants in upstate New York, which, of course, is fascinating to me. And I wanted to bounce a couple ideas off of you.
Sure.
One of the things that I've seen working up here are, it's hard to get people to buy wines in restaurants in upstate New York.
Well,
it's more common in the city and downstate.
Really?
So one thing I've seen in the past is moving up market with the quality of wine, going a little thinner margin percentage, which still leaves you an okay margin dollar-wise in order to, offer... a very tempting choice for the diner.
Bill, right. Are you an accountant by any chance?
No. I'm a
Sounded
wine importer.
Like it.
All right, go ahead.
So Bill, I'm sorry, you're saying that it's harder to sell wines in up in this area in Hudson Valley than it is in New York because of perhaps the 3x markup or 4x markup that some restaurants do?
Well, what ends up happening, I'm sure you've seen this in restaurants up here, they will just go to the more commercial brands that people are familiar with.
Right.
And then, of course, when the diner sees the price compared with what they're used to paying in the retail store, they go into sticker shock and they say, I'd never buy a bottle of wine in a restaurant.
Got it.
And
well,
then that becomes a pattern.
Right. Well, I think it's about education and about having those wines on the list because the restaurants I've been to, they say they're farm to table or they say they're doing local, and you look at the wine list and it's 70% French and et cetera. So I really want, when you come to the Roundhouse, I really want it to jump off the pages that, wow, this is truly local. Listen, all the wines up here are great, but certainly there are some very good wines and good wines that we want to promote and cideries and brew. And we're going to have a section for cideries alone. And really, it's going to be mostly the wines from up here. And that's what you're going to have to drink in my restaurant because we're not going to offer the normal wines that you may find on international wine lists because we're really about the local community and supporting the local agriculture and wine industries and other industries as well.
Bill, thank you very much for that call. And there's some great wine.
Yeah, absolutely.
In fact, we did a show maybe last week. They brought a wine from Massachusetts, which I have never had, and it was delicious. I was shocked at just how good it was. How about the beer? How's the beer at CIA? Fisher was talking about it a couple of weeks ago.
Well, they make their own. They make their own brewery. No, so they're making it in conjunction with Brooklyn Brewery, so it's excellent.
Have you tried?
Yeah. I tried it this past Saturday, yeah. It's excellent.
And Hal, you ever have a couple and then get on the Clearwater and take it for a little run?
No, sailors drink rum.
Oh, yeah? Well, good for you.
Absolutely.
That's another show. All right.
That's a whole other show.
Good for you, Hal. Well, let's go back to the phones. Bill in Pittsfield, you're on.
Another Bill.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me all right?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to recommend a cheese.
Okay.
Okay.
Don't say Velveeta.
What's that?
Don't say Velveeta. No, you can. It's fine.
No. Four Fat Fowls, St. Stephen's Triple Cream.
Can you say that again and say that 10 times fast? Four what?
Four Fat Fowls.
That's a heck of a name.
St. Stephen's Triple Cream.
That's one name?
You need a big label.
When did I come up with a nickname for that?
Four Fat Fowls, the company.
Huh?
And St. Stephen's Triple Cream is the cheese.
All right, so that's the cheese. Where is that produced?
In Steventown, New York.
Mm. Where is that in Hudson Valley?
Sure.
I don't know.
No, it's Rensselaer, I believe.
It's down. It's within.
It's an artisan.
We would call it.
Yeah. It's close.
It's an artisan creamery. Right now, it's all they produce, but it comes in a cake. Like, it looks like brie, but it's really smooth, really creamy and rich. And it goes with pretty much anything on a cracker or any kind of bread or something like that. It's just absolutely fantastic.
That's fantastic.
So that's a good plug for Stephen's Triple Cream.
Yeah. All right. So we'll try that out.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Bill. We appreciate it. By the way, what you made just here is absolutely amazing. I want to eat the whole thing. There's no time.
I didn't do much for it. It's really the farmers are the stars as far as I'm concerned. So that's just, again, that's just a puree of tomato through a food mill
and
with seasonings. Yeah, these tomatoes.
All of these together.
Just pureed up and then strained a little bit.
And it's so delicious. And the cherry tomatoes or whatever you call them, they're very small.
Sungolds,
They're delicious. Yeah. And so... The green stuff is pesto and
ricotta, fresh whipped ricotta cheese and then pesto in it.
It's a brilliant touch right in the middle of the soup.
But you didn't have the kebab.
I'm going to do it. Hey, I got to chew that. And so, unless we get a lot of calls, I may have to wait till the end of the show.
I'm watching you.
Going down, all right? And so 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Any inkling of what may be on the menu when you first open?
Well, I did a photo shoot recently for Organic Hudson. And, I'm going to have... let's see. I was trying to do fall stuff. So, what are we going to have? What did I do for the photo? We're going to have pastrami skate wing.
Yeah.
Whole roasted cauliflower with some harissa dressing and raisins, pine nuts, and mint. There'll be maybe an endive tartatin with fall flavors. And I have a forager.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Now, that's another thing. We've done many foraging programs.
So I'm just starting to go visit all the farms. All of a sudden, I'm like, it's got to be some stuff around here. And one of my sous chefs says, I forage. I said, what? He said, where do you forage? Mount Beacon, right there. So I send him out, and he brings back all this great stuff, man. So there's lamb's quarters growing between the cracks of the sidewalk in Beacon.
Yeah.
So... mushrooms and barks and wild greens, and so that's very exciting for me. So
this is something that maybe New York City not so much.
You can. I used to have a forager in Vermont, but there's a disconnect kind of here when you're at least what I'm finding for myself is it's through a different lens now. Like I have a forager on my staff that goes right out the door to Mount Beacon
and gets
my stuff and brings it back, and I make something with it.
Yeah.
Same with the farms. These tomatoes are literally 5 minutes away from the restaurant, and so that connection is really having an effect and a paradigm shift on how I'm creating new dishes and food, and I'm going a little more organic feel to the plates, and this is a conscious decision. Like my knee-jerk reaction is very precise and delicate and very French, and now I'm like, I'm going to leave this weed, and I'm going to leave the root on it, say it just got picked and things like that. Like my dish I'm doing in at the Coney Institute is it's going to be freshly dug and picked vegetables composition with the last of summer flavors, because I'm going to wait till 3 or 4 days, 2 days before the event to see what the farmers have, and I'm going to make a dish.
So this is changing your art to some extent.
It is, and it's really got me impassioned. And I'm excited about cooking. Mm. Not that I, you know.
It sounds like you're pretty excited most of the time.
You get to New York, you get beat up, you get this, you got business, you get
Yeah. Well, and that's got to be a tricky thing. In other words, you have to separate the business aspect from the creative aspect.
Absolutely.
And then when you create, then you have to transmit what you want to the people who work for you.
Right.
That's got to be very stressful. You must drink a lot.
No.
He makes wonderful margaritas.
Does he really?
Yes, he does.
No, you can't drink a lot. Be sustainable in his business. It doesn't work.
I like it. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. So do we know what is specifically going to be on the menu for the big benefit for the Clearwater?
Yes.
What is that?
Shall I read you the menu?
Why don't you read me the menu?
I'm starting out, like I mentioned before, with my dish. Oh, that's an old menu. I already changed it.
you see?
Got a new one?
Hal, you're fired.
All right, I'm
all
fired.
Right, so I'm just doing picked an organic vegetable composition, lots of summer flavors. Then Peter Kelly from Xavier Group is going to do warm custard forage mushrooms with apple red onion compote, chive beurre blanc. Gianni Scappini of the CIA, and he owns Market Restaurant. And what's the other restaurant in Woodstock.
Hal's no help at all. He's nodding
doing,
off.
Being Italian, he's going to do a risotto dish with beets and Coach Farm goat cheese. And then John Lekek from Le Express Restaurant is going to do the Saunders Farm Black Angus beef. We're going to do various cuts because we're using the whole animal,
right.
So you're not sure which one you get. You may get sirloin, you may get short rib, you may get cheek or tongue or tail, or so we're using all the animal with pommes boulanger, root vegetable glacé, and bone marrow chimichurri. And then Melissa Wallach of the CIA culinary at the Apple, what's that cafe?
Apple Cafe
is going to do an apple dessert from apples from Fishkill Farms.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, this is great. And that is September 25th. And once again, we wake up, Hal, every 15 minutes. What's that website, Hal?
Chefsforclearwater.org.
That's good. Well played.
And we're matching it with local wines, too, by the way.
Oh,
I didn't
nice.
Mention the wine. So each course is going to have wine.
Let's get another call or two in here. Ken and Tilson, you're on. Ken.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to say that I just recently had been volunteering for the Ulster County, what would you call it? The Ulster County Farm to Food Pantry program. And I am just shocked at how generous the farmers in the Hudson Valley are. I mean, we've gotten like 2,000 pounds of tomatoes. Every time you turn around, these farmers are giving food that is going to people that need it.
Yeah,
that's really all I had to say.
Yeah, and they work so hard, don't they? I was at a farm last week, and it's one of those hot days, and I was doing a photo shoot on the farm.
Yeah.
But I'm just watching the staff there. They're at 12 o'clock in the hot sun and humidity, and I'm just standing there sweating, and they're digging up potatoes, and they're picking vegetables, and it's just it's really a labor of love, and I really respect all the farmers and what they do. It's hard work, and it's 7 days a week, and really it's incredible.
It's not easy work, and they could all, you know, I know in the Hudson Valley, I see some of the, I go to these farms and I see the views, and these people could sell their land to, you know, developers and make so much more money than they're making on the farm, but they're doing it for, you know, it's a labor of love.
And preservation. There's a big movement for preserving all the farmland up here, which is really a great thing that's going on up here as well.
Well, Ken,
it's a shout out. Thank you, farmers.
And Ken, thank you for the call.
Well,
by the way, we didn't even mention Brennan Group Hospitality, and we have about 30, 40 seconds left. Is there anything you want to say
about
that?
That's my company that I run various business through, but I consult to as well and do other businesses through Brennan Group Hospitality.
Well, the restaurant will open in October. I can't remember the exact date.
October 10-ish.
10-ish, and it's the Roundhouse by Terrence Brennan. It'll be in Beacon, and it sounds like it's a nice venue, too, for a good meal.
Oh, it's
a
very cool venue. It's got beautiful views of the waterfall. It's terrific.
And the big event is September 25th. It is a benefit for Sloop Clearwater, right?
Correct. and it's going to be a wonderful event. Have bluegrass music.
Oh yeah, who's playing? Shartok playing?
No.
No.
Yeah,
no.
There's a live auction. There's silent auction. Great silent auction.
Great items.
Items
that we've got.
And
we've
got
an auctioneer from
Cocktail Hour
from Sotheby's. We'll be running that auction.
And maybe you get the cheese drawings, right? Get them in.
Yeah. Put them in the auction.
Get a value on those. I'll put a value of $700 apiece on
at
those.
At least.
Yeah.
$700,000, right?
Yeah, $700,000, right.
But Clearwater really needs this, and I invite everybody to
buy a ticket and
come to the event.
And you're guaranteed to have a great time and eat well.
Okay,
and drink well.
Well, this sounds great, and best of luck to you. Really nice meeting you,
Likewise.
Chef Brennan. Nice to have you on the program. Once again, Hal, give me that website one more time.
Chefsforclearwater.org.
I didn't catch that.
Chefsforclearwater.org. All one word, chefsforclearwater.org.
Perfection. Well done. Well, Hal Cohen of Clearwater, thanks for being here. We really appreciate it. Good job.
Thank you.
And Chef Terrence Brennan, best of luck with the Roundhouse by Terrence Brennan in Beacon, New York. And the food was fantastic, man. Thank you. Thanks to everybody who called in. Thanks for listening. Support comes from the Olana Partnership presenting Barry Hopkins Run September 11th, 8:30 a.m. Register at olana.org. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. Field Goods, working with Hudson Valley farmers to deliver weekly subscriptions of local produce year-round to workplaces and community locations, support small farms and healthy eating, field-goods.com. And Big Y, for over 80 years, family-owned and operated market with 4 locations in the Berkshires, with locally grown produce, fresh meat, and seafood, BigY.com. Thanks again to Chef Brennan, thanks to Mr. Cohen, and thanks to you for listening. Have a lovely week. Oh, thanks to Zach the engineer, too. You did reasonably well this week. I'll give you a pass. And our phones were answered by Barb King, our producer. For the last time, we say it, Jessica Blaustein Marshall, well done. I'm Ray Graff. Have a good weekend. Alan will be back in the big chair on Monday for Medical Monday. Stay tuned now for news.